already plucked, dressed, feathered, and dead, I wouldn't take them.
Oh, God, that's how bad they are? Oh, my God.
They have these cries that they make. And the cries that they make are how they were named.
Foul.
Because they have this double call. And you can hear when, you know, something's going on in the barn, you can hear them. Or if you walk in the barn, you can hear them. Or say, and they would go, fuck off, 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 fucking A, fucking A, fucking A, fucking A. I said, yeah, that's how they got their name.
I think we got the pre-roll.
We got the pre-roll. I think we should. What do you say? Let's start that.
No, you can't use that.
Oh, yes. We are. Why not?
Because I don't quite. The guinea that I am, I don't quite sound like a guinea hen. I couldn't be a hen either way.
That's perfect. We need a little bit of laugh here.
Sure, why not? Get a little laugh at the old goat's expense.
No! I mean, you're the one that... No, I'm not at your expense. I'm laughing with you. Oh, my
God. Are you rolling? Really, are you rolling?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that ain't right.
As soon as the thing starts ringing, I start rolling.
Oh, that ain't right. Well, if that's the case, then hey. blessed Palm Sunday to you all out there. Aziza Pesach to those of you who listen that are of the chosen people. We're ready for a special Palm Sunday Passover edition of Political QRM. L'chaim.
Welcome. Welcome, everybody. Yes, it's Palm Sunday.
Only because I don't know how to say lock and load in Hebrew.
Neither do I, not yet. Although Israel did today when they hit Syria.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it. For those of you who may not get a lot of the conversation that takes place pre-show, of course, you may get more of it than I care for, but...
Still haven't put in that thing about you and the tree, but that's okay.
I was just describing the efforts of my beautiful and insanely talented wife on the range this past week, where the RSO rode on the target corner.
Donna.
I think as Israel probably has at least as good marksmanship as my wife does.
Yep. You betcha.
And I'm just tickled that the trip by the president went incidentless. No, it didn't go incidentless, but it went incidentless in the fact that he managed to go and come safely.
Get the hell out of there with it. No. A few things happened that really bugged the crap out of me.
A lot of stuff bugged me about it, but he didn't get killed by his own people, Hamas.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, or Hezbollah, or yeah. Taliban, or Al Qaeda, or Muslim Brotherhood, yeah. Or
yeah.
You know, I don't know what they don't use initials like most places. They actually just use names. Mm-hmm.
Seriously, no. I mean, one of the first... I'm going to have to focus on one thing here. The Beast, his car. Did you hear about that little problem they had? They said, oh, we put the wrong fuel in there. So they had a...
It's supposed to be a multi-fuel vehicle. How did you... What did they do? What did they put in it?
They said that instead of putting in gasoline, they put in diesel. That's the story.
It's supposed to be able to burn crude.
That's the story. Now, you know, and I know, that everything about a president is so regimented and so checked out every day, in and out, in and out. You're trying to tell me some yahoo put the wrong fuel in that car? No.
Let's not skip the point that it is a multi-fuel vehicle. It's designed to run on anything, just about anything that'll burn.
Exactly. So that whole thing is
The Secret Service guys tie a good one on the night before. They could pee in the tank and it would work.
That's true. No, seriously. I mean, it's like, so I don't believe it. Okay, so... something else was going on there, which was not divulged to the press or the American people. So,
divulged to the American people? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know.
What were you expecting? Were you expecting the truth out of the most transparent presidency in history?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Well, you kind of would hope for it occasionally, but yeah. But, seriously. I mean, you notice this never happened with GW. Really. Never happened with Ronald Reagan.
Never happened with anyone else.
No, it didn't. It didn't. It didn't happen with anyone else. Not even
this is all new ground. This is all virgin territory.
Yep.
You know, he's the Lewis and Clark of the White House. Exploring the unexplored regions.
But
what the hell the American people will buy.
That's what it is. Yeah. So, yeah, he goes over there.
You know, I think sometimes, you know, I wonder if his chief of staff isn't the venerable Rod Serling.
Well...
Now, look, there's your signpost up ahead, America.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know it said something else yesterday and something else the day before, but there's your signpost now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, look, hey, he went, he got back.
Well...
You know, the kids were, where were they? Playa del something, Mexico, and Michelle was somewhere else, and
God forbid, she could be seen at the Wailing Wall, right? Did he go to the Wailing Wall?
Huh?
Did he go to the Wailing Wall?
Oh, of course I went.
Not you, him.
Oh.
Jesus
Christ. I went to the Blarney Stone, too. Does that help? I mean...
Oh, you're hitting all the rocks out there, aren't you, honey?
You show me a rock, I'll kiss it. Boy,
kiss it. Kiss it, shove a message in it. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, we got America's Stonehenge up here. You got to come and visit that.
Oh, they have America's Stonehenge in Pennsylvania, too.
No. The one is...
And then in Florida, they have Carhenge. Or is it Florida?
I thought that was Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, all right.
Yeah,
I know.
Carhenge. No. This is... Anyway, we'll get into that some other time. But, and then he gave a speech. He wanted to give a speech at, and I can't remember the university's name, and they said, thank you, but no thank you.
No. Yes.
Yes. And so then what they did was they got a hold of a large auditorium and they bus students in. And... They
bust supportive students.
Yeah, supportive students. Well, you know, don't forget, Arabs do live in Israel. So how many of those students were Arab and not,
well,
you know, Jewish?
You know, I also want to give props where it's due. You know, I saw a thing on, you know me, I'm into the social media stuff, and I'm on Facebook, and as a matter of fact, I was just in the process, when I saw you light your profile up, I was in the process of creating the Facebook pages and Twitter pages.
But you were getting off of there.
Oh, no, I'm doing all of this for Debbie's new business.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So I had to log into my old stuff to get on and then, you know, create new pages and stuff for Cream of the Crop.
Is that the name of the business?
The Cream of the Crop,
I
yes.
love it. I love it.
Cream of the Crop. It's going to be in Naples, Maine. It's going to be opening. I want to, certainly before Memorial Day, but I don't know which weekend.
Okay.
Before Memorial Day, so those of you who are local, stop on by and say hi, buy something for crying out loud. We're betting the house on this. I saw something come across Facebook from IDF.
Yeah.
And it showed the highest ranking Muslim in the IDF. And his name escapes me. And he runs one of the one of the installations, one of the training installations for the Israeli Defense Forces. Mm-hmm. He's the great Royal High Puba of that particular installation. And again, I don't remember which one. But the point is that this is how inclusive Israel is.
Oh, yeah.
And yet, if an Israeli were to go across the border into Gaza and say to the Hezbollah people, Hamas people, whoever people were hanging around over there, PLO, PLA, hey, look, you know what? You guys are right. You know, let's take down this oppressive Israeli. Before he'd finish his sentence, he'd be shot.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't even give this guy a chance to sit there and explain himself. He'd you know, walk in the door and say, "Hi, I'm, Shalom Aleichem, and you know, this is what I want to do." He'd be shot,
exactly.
And not only shot, but dismembered and dragged through the street and set on fire and hung from a bridge.
That's right.
You know, so when I look at, you know, the fact that they were able to find not only Arabs, but sympathetic Jews, et cetera, to put into an auditorium for the President of the United States, you know, in this impromptu, pre-planned impromptu gathering, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, and the thing is, one of his main thoughts that he talked about was going around the government. Excuse me? Really?
Going around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going around the government that he's titular head of.
I mean, that's amazing. He's actually had the damn nerve to stand there and say that. I mean, how dare you? How dare you? And Bibi Netanyahu, if you looked at Bibi's...
How dare he breathe the air in those hallowed halls?
I agree. He shouldn't have been on that soil, seriously. He shouldn't even been on Israel soil. Israeli soil,
and then to send Biden.
Oh my God, that was even worse. Biden and Pelosi, I believe, went.
You know, was it Pelosi? Yeah, was it Pelosi or was it?
No, I believe it was.
No, it was Pelosi. I think it was Pelosi.
The two quote unquote Catholics. The two quote unquote Catholics.
Yeah. You know something. Did they get audience?
I think they did.
Or were they just there and, you know, waving a little Vatican
no,
flag?
No. There's a picture of Biden and...
oh, my God. They got audience. You
Joe
know,
Biden with
that
the Pope.
That only speaks... To me, that only speaks of the beneficence of the pontificate.
Yes, it does. It really
that
does.
That speaks to me of the beneficence of the Holy See.
He's amazing. I think he's an amazing man. Yeah.
Because if I were the Pope and they sent... You know, and I was just elected, and we were having my installation, you know, and they sent me Biden and Pelosi. I'd meet with Castro first.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is, they both received communion.
You've got to be kidding.
Nope, they did. They did. That really bothered me. That really bothered me. I mean, the two most non-Catholic Catholics I've ever seen.
How could they possibly find themselves in a state of grace 5 seconds after they walk out of the confessional?
There's no way. There is no way. I mean,
again, it speaks to me of the beneficence of the Pope.
Yes.
You know,
the more he does, the more I like him. I mean,
you know, you gotta love it at this point. You gotta love it because I would have been. But then again, you know what? I lost out by how many votes?
That's true.
So it wasn't up to me to say. So no, he won fair and square.
Fair and square. That's right. Yeah. I'm glad you don't have any bitter grapes.
I only lost by about 435 votes.
That's right. You did.
Could you imagine Pope Lou? Oh
no, sir. Okay. Let's take a look. If you did receive enough votes as Pope, what name would you choose?
What name would I choose? I probably would have chose Francis of Assisi as well.
Really? Okay. All right.
I might now. I might have chosen Francis of Assisi. I may have chosen You know, I may have chosen Honoris, but then again, I may have chosen a significantly masculinized, because I do wear a beard, version of Jeanne d'Arc.
Okay. Why?
I've always identified with Saint Jeanne d'Arc.
Okay. All right.
I don't know why. I really don't. But ever since I was a little kid at St. James School in Newark, New Jersey, I always identified with Saint Jeanne d'Arc.
Was that Jesuit school?
Actually, don't remember.
What about your high school?
I went to a secular high school.
Oh, okay.
So, you know. And of course, Fordham, you know, is a Jesuit school as well. But that, religiously speaking, Fordham had almost no impingement on me whatsoever. Well, because I really wasn't paying much mind to, you know, I was in anthropology and literature. I wasn't in, you know. So it didn't really, the Jesuit aspect of it really had nothing to do with me.
Well, no, I mean, you know, it's just like, I know a lot. Where did the guys in my, Don Bosco, that was it.
Oh, Don Bosco Prep and Don Bosco.
Yep. I think that's Jesuit. Yes, I'm pretty sure it is.
Oh, yes, it is. That's a Jesuit school, yep.
Yeah, and I remember stories from the guys that did attend it. They were like, oh, man, you know, I mean, these guys were tough. The priests, they were tough because they were Jesuits.
Well, what was good counsel?
What? I don't remember.
In Newark, I don't remember because I had a lot of friends who went to good counsel.
Most of them are Jesuit, aren't they? I mean, very few are Franciscan.
You get Franciscan, you get, you know, go to some of these places and you get Cistercian. I mean, you know, depending on how ethnic you really want to get.
Wow. But,
I suppose most of them, of course, because of the educational angle.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, the Jesuits are supposed to be the education givers of the Catholic Church, so on. Yeah, but they're also tough. And that's the thing. You have the lefties, they look at this Pope and they go, oh, he's for the poor. And as you and I discussed last week, the Catholic Church is for the poor. So let's stop that right there.
Yeah. You know, if you're Catholic, you're for the poor.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, if you're Catholic, you're also against same-sex marriage. And if you're Catholic, you're against abortion. And of course, if you're Catholic, you're against contraception. And of course, if you're Catholic, you're anti this and you're pro that. I mean, you know, but it's part of the fabric of the community.
Yeah, you know something? All these people, though, do they realize that one of the first hospices for AIDS patients was done by the Catholic Church?
The leprosy outreach has been run by the Catholic Church forever and ever. The AIDS outreach has been run by the Catholic Church forever and ever. You know, all of these things, and you know, Mother Teresa, she wasn't ministering to the rich.
That's right, she was. Yes, it was all the poor. Yes. You know, so you know, it's like, lefties, shut up. But anyway, okay, so we kind of got off
base. And here we are discussing this on Palm Sunday.
On Palm Sunday. God forgive us. Okay. Okay, Obama's trip to Israel. The next thing, he meets with Abbas. Oh, wait a minute. Let me back up. While he's in Israel, two rockets are fired from Gaza into Israel, into southern Israel.
Who would have thunk?
Gee, you know. Then he meets with Abbas, and there's this big banner above both of them, and the one that has Yasser Arafat is right over Obama.
Yep.
Mistake? I don't think so. I think what that did was send a message.
Yep.
It was Obama sending a message.
Yep, especially when you compare it with not that long ago when he had to have the crucifix covered in his presence to deliver a speech.
Yep, at Georgetown University.
Catholic University.
Yeah, and they went along with it. I would have told him, I said, thank you. I would have said thank you, but no thank you. And apparently his feeling about that has carried.
He has been because he wanted to avoid problems with the Establishment Clause, saying that the government shouldn't, you know, support. Well, if the government won't support a religion, what do you think? You think Yasser Arafat was that much of a secularist that he just wanted the Palestinian state for political purposes?
Yeah, I know. I know.
You know, are we the only two people on the planet putting this together?
No, believe me.
No, I don't think we are. No,
but you know, you won't have the mainstream media even mentioning this.
No, of course not. They won't even show that. They'll edit that part of the flick out.
They'll
go in tight on his face so you can't see the banner.
They did.
You know, that kind of thing. Well, see, I'm only privy to it secondhand because I have to wait for it to hit the internet.
Yeah, they did. No, it's amazing, you know. And then he goes to Jordan, and it's like, yeah, why are you there? Leave.
Why is he in Jordan?
I don't know.
Why is he meeting with Abbas? Why is he doing any of this?
Yeah, he shouldn't have been in Israel.
Other than to walk in the door and say, here's the gig. I have my finger on the pulse of the American people.
He does not.
You know the American people. You want them dead, right? Because they're infidels.
Yeah. Oh, that. Yeah. Oh, with Abbas and Jordan.
Oh, well, you know what? Here's the deal. They don't want to be dead. Yeah. At your hands or anyone else's. So I'm here to tell you, watch your step.
And then the
Ayatollah in Iran comes out and says, well, you know, if you guys do anything, we'll just entirely decimate, you know, Israel.
And let me tell you, God forbid, if that happens, let me just tell you, Obama's not going to do a damn thing. He's going to go, oh, well, you know, we can't interfere. Israel's gone. Let's go on.
He's not going to have anything to say about it. He's not going to have anything to say about it because it won't be in the hands of the presidency. And even if it falters in the hands of Congress, it won't matter. Private contract businesses will see to it that nothing, you know, untoward happens to Israel, and everything untoward happens to everybody else.
Well, let's hope, because I'm getting fed up.
You know, this whole thing. Look, I've always believed in privatization. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I'm against Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, privatization can be a good thing.
Yep.
You know, and you know, if somebody doesn't have to answer up some chain of command.
You know, that brings up an interesting point. I'm thinking of forming my own intelligence community, since Obama is now destroying. Since Obama is destroying the one that we now have in place with Brennan and Chuck Hagel installed.
Yeah, but you can't call it that if you want me to. You know.
What, an intelligence community?
Yeah.
Oh, why? Because we'll be we're only going to have intelligent people there.
No, again, I'm disqualified.
Oh, stop. Oh, my God. And then this is interesting, too, which is you had Putin. I have to everything is kind of just falling. Pieces are coming together and everything is falling apart as far as our supremacy in the world and our, you know, number one guy for freedom. You had Putin welcoming China's what the heck is he, a premier? I can't even say his last name. What is it? Xi? Huh? What?
John,
whatever the heck he is. But anyway, and
John Doe.
Yeah. let me tell you this.
Is his name John Doe?
Jeez Louise. Okay. And there go the dogs. See, they don't even like you doing that. Okay. So anyway, so he rolls out the red carpet for this guy, literally. Okay. And basically, now, you see, the thing is, I'm a child of the 80s from the intelligence community, okay? I remember when at the border, the Chinese used to moon the Soviet guards, okay? That's how much they hated each other. I mean, that's what their big thing of the day was. They used to moon the guards. So anyway, to have these two together is very, very, not good. Not good. Not good.
Well, you know, I saw another thing come across one of the tickers that the Soviets have now built their own land infantry, you know, strategic operation vehicle.
Great.
And they're calling it the Punisher. It gets 2.3 miles per gallon. And I'm like, well, I guess DHS will be ordering those.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But the idea of the Chinese and the Russians being together is scary. You know, yes. There's no other way about it. But as you said, considering back in the 80s when they used to do, you know, moonings and you know, erect signs on either side of the, well, the Soviet side didn't, but the Chinese side erected signs. You know, granted they were misspelled, but they erected signs saying, "Hey, you know, we hate you," you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it's just something I never ever thought I would see. But Putin is a different type of leader. He's not the old Soviet type. He's a new Soviet type, and he's smarter. He's a lot smarter, and he's smarter than Obama. And he's smarter. Yeah, oh no, God. Well, you know that. I didn't have to say that, but I did. He's also smarter than a lot of people in Congress. And they have no clue. They have no clue what this man is doing. They think that he is bringing...
Well, it's not that they don't have a clue what he's doing. It's that they haven't been given a clue what he's doing, because the intelligence community is supposed to be providing them with that has been hobbled.
Yes, it has been hobbled.
So desperately that... You know, if I were a member of Congress in either house, you know, walking around, even on a committee, saying, "Well, gee, I wonder what's going on," I couldn't depend on the information that I got from the intelligence.
Not anymore.
You know, because they're not there. They're just not there.
No,
they're not. And even if they are there, you know, with the respect coefficient that we get from the rest of the world on any level, being such as it is, the intelligence that we do get, who knows the validity, veracity, you know, timeliness, you know, of any of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're primed with a weakened intelligence community. We're not only primed for not knowing what's been going on, but by having been given, you know, false intel.
Yeah, that's one of the problems there.
You know, disinformation. You know, sort of thing.
Yeah, we don't have what we had in the let's back this up. In the 70s, once Jimmy Carter got in, he took the intelligence community and completely decimated it. When I got in 1978, I was in, and after about 8 weeks, I finally mustered up the courage to ask somebody, why is everybody just sitting here and not talking? You know, I mean, everybody, we're in this big room together, and all these desks are there, and they're just kind of pouring over information. I said, nobody talks to each other, nobody says anything, there's no, you know, interaction. And she said, and the woman said to me, you know, when Jimmy Carter got in, he completely decimated us. Whereas we're not getting any info that we should be getting in. And what we're basically doing is going over old info to see if we've missed anything. I'm like, oh my God. So it was pretty, you know, slim pickings. From 78 to 80, Ronald Reagan gets in. What a difference. And now, though, with the... And this has been... this has been verified by people who have been in the intelligence community, that now our intelligence community is so Islamic-centered that, you know, we're back to... We are so in the tank. I mean, it's... We're drowning.
Well, you know, it's one thing to say that, but again... I looked, and you tell me how optimistic I tend to be, but it's true. I tend to believe in the free enterprise system, in the fact that we have contractors who have access to stuff much better than our government has, and they not only have it, but they have it in a better hand than the government has it. Why? Because they get the respect because they're out there doing it, and that's how it is. And yep. Yes, they're American, so they're there for us. So. We have that, and you know, the fact that there are, I don't believe that the military industrial complex has just rolled over and said, okay, you know, we'll just lay here on the porch in the sun, you know, while all this takes place. I'm sure that there's stuff going on that, you know, that, you know, certainly we don't, not only we as the people don't hear about, but I'm sure there's stuff going on that people high up in the government don't hear about.
Well, a lot of them.
You know, stuff that, you know, Secretary will disavow kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, no. You know, the thing is that still the United States government is still in charge of the most powerful part of intelligence. I really do not think that private enterprise can take that over at this point. Not at the, well, maybe at this point we can't, but no, no, there's no way. There's no way. There is no way. I can tell you that. There is no way. So we're just going to get beaten up. I mean, we have Hegel in there.
Oh, if we don't have the intel, that's fine. Look, as long as we have the GPS coordinates and the guns, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but who under the auspices of who do we go in and, you know?
So it doesn't matter.
Operations.
It doesn't matter.
So
it doesn't matter. Look, if somebody launches something,
yeah,
and it finds itself unlaunched, I don't care who shot it down.
No, I don't care who shoots it down either. But
if we find out that there's a you know, a boat with, you know, I don't know, you know, I don't know that much about boats. Let's say there's a 50-foot boat, and it's filled with people who have every intention of, you know, going up the Hudson River, you know, Fleet Week, and dispensing, you know, 20 million cubic feet of sarin gas,
mm-hmm.
you know, and letting off a dirty bomb. And for some reason, we hear about a 50-foot boat that sinks mid-Atlantic.
Okay, that's fine, but,
you know, I don't care who sunk it.
Okay, but who has the power to do that? The government does. We don't.
Oh, no, we don't. No, we don't. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We don't. But if I were wandering around, let's just use, for example, because it's local to me, the streets of Lewiston, Maine.
Okay.
If I were walking around the streets of Lewiston, Maine, and I heard some scuttlebutt, some rumors, this, that, and the other thing, and I, you know, went to some dry cleaner somewhere and found out that in the back, you know, there was this going on and that going on, and I stopped it.
No,
you know, I mean, you know, would it be something, you know, would it be like one of these movies where, you know, I get taken by, you know, some black SUV, you know, to some warehouse and strapped to a chair and, you know, told what an idiot I was because there was an investigation, there was an intelligence community, there was this, there was that, there was all this other stuff. But I stopped them from setting something off.
But they'd still
do it. You think I'd give a damn?
Well, no, of course you wouldn't. But you'd still be dragged away. Look,
yes,
wait a minute.
I'd be dragged away. Look, my country was, you know, saved.
Wait a minute. I had this stupid idiot Russian behind me, okay? I did my own investigation online. I found out some really strange things. He was shooting off guns, something else that we really don't know what the heck it was. It was so loud, it broke a window in my house. Fireworks, but then you could hear something else in the background. I mean, this was all hours of day or night. So I went to the police chief and I told him about it. And it just kept happening and happening and happening. So finally I got online and I said, you know what? This guy is kind of strange. All right. I noticed that he paid, because a lot of these records are online, and he paid cash for a large portion of his mortgage, like $65,000. Okay. $100,000, they start looking at you. But yet he lived in a place in Massachusetts that there was this tiny apartment. So I said, sold this to all of the police chief. The guy, after a while, the little piece of crap, said that we were harassing him, okay? And I looked at him and I said, I used to be in the intelligence community, okay? I said, I know.
Tovarich.
Huh?
Tovarich. I used to be in the Tovarich.
But the thing is that, you know, this is, and the guy was just like totally, oh, well, no, you're being mean or you're being, I was like, what? So finally, I had to go around it. I went to the FBI because I had family who worked for the FBI.
And they said, Vanya. And knock it off.
And they said to me, well, let me tell you something. You know how the wheels of government turn, but the person that I contacted was a relative of mine who knew the guy up in Boston office. basically, within 6 months, this guy was gone. Gone. He left the country. Okay? So you're trying to tell me, and he didn't pay any, he basically, they foreclosed on his house. So you're basically telling me that this was an above board thing? We don't know what the heck he did. He gave three people in the area three different versions of what he did, including me. And it's just like, guys, I'm not that stupid.
All right, look, either you caught him midstream and something you did caused him to go away, or his mission was accomplished and he went back home.
Either one.
One or the other, and you don't know which, and that's fine. I'm okay with not always knowing.
No, I don't want to always know, but you know what? What gets me is that we had this little Pisher police chief who didn't believe me. By the way, the guy was originally from New Jersey. But he wasn't a New Jersey cop. He wasn't a real New Jersey cop. Because if it was anybody else, he would have believed
What was
me.
What was he, the security director for Garden State Park Plaza or something?
That's what he acted like. He wanted us to hold
mall cop.
Yeah, he wanted us to hold hands with the criminals and sing Kumbaya, I think. But anyway.
Oh, goodness. Well, maybe he was chief of security at Great Adventure then.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But anyway, it has been a busy week.
Well, it has. It has. And there's more coming. A couple of things that I wrote on my list. And two of these things go together. The people who listen know that we've been against Agenda 21 since the inception.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to bring to the attention of people in our area that there is an Agenda 21, an anti-Agenda 21 informational gathering over here in Maine on the 20th of the 20th of April at Lake Region High School at 6 o'clock in the evening.
Did you say what was that? What high school?
Lakes Region High School. Okay. on 302, whether you want to call it Roosevelt Trail, Bridgeton Road, Portland Road, Casco Road, whatever name therefore you want to apply.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be an anti-Agenda 21 informational session at Lakes Region High School. It's called Communities. Let me get this right. Community Action Against Agenda 21. And Agenda 21 is not a partisan issue because there are indeed Democrats who are not part of the desire to be part of Agenda 21. And with that go things like the eminent domain now being an issue being prosecuted against Americans by the Department of Homeland Security.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to any other department of the United States government.
Mm-hmm.
So they're taking people who they don't like.
Right.
And kicking them out of their homes and things like that and making their life a general mess.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that you've got to cognizance the fact that this is bad. You know, Active Communities Against Agenda 21 is an organization that their key speaker is Dr. Michael Kaufman. Kofman. He's a recognized expert and authority on forestry, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
So he's taking the green angle of Agenda 21 and letting rural communities know how bad this is for their budgets. You know, the eminent domain thing, you know, is part of it, because it's not just a question of whether they don't like you, which, face it, they don't like me, so, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But, you know, it's also the kind of thing where if they decide that you live too close to a lake or too strategic a spot on a watershed or what have you, they'll just say, well, you know, we want your house and your land. And even if it's been in your family since, I guess there are families here who actually own big tracts of land, as a matter of fact, on one of which on which I hunt, that go back to deeds issued by George III.
Wow.
And yes, I hunt on His Majesty's land, actually, if you go back far enough. So, you know, there are people who stand a lot to lose by this, and I want to push it. It's on, as I said, April 20th at 6 p.m., 6 to 8, at Lakes Region High School in Naples.
I'll put this in the write-up, so.
Yeah. You know.
Who is sponsoring this?
This is being run by the Active Communities Against Agenda 21.
All right, so that is a group. Okay.
That is a group. Now, one of our local in Bridgeton small business owners is a big push behind this. She listens to PQRM, so she's going to hear this. I have researched it. I haven't found anything. I will stamp my Nihil Obstat on it. I haven't found anything offensive in it. Granted, I'm not a member of this organization, at least not yet. I'm waiting till I attend. And if you do attend, you'll see me there. I will be there. I have every intention of being there. The wife has every intention of being there. You know, we're going to be there. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, even though it takes place at 6 p.m., it is a school building, so, it's leave your guns home. This is not a Second Amendment rally. So, there's a lot to it, and I recommend all of our listeners to look into it to make sure, you know, they understand the ramifications, especially those of us who live in a less than urban setting, so that they understand the ramifications of Agenda 21 on a local population.
That's right.
Because it is indeed far-reaching and deep, to and including the eminent domain issue. Moving along, I do want to get to two more issues today.
Go for it.
Bloomberg for $12 million in the Jeopardy. Do we hit double Jeopardy on this? No. Who is Mike Bloomberg and $12 million?
Oh, my God.
The his honor the mayor of the city of New York, along with a bunch of other mayors against firearms, have decided to put $12 million ad campaign into, among other things, undoing the removal of the assault weapons provisions before Congress right now. I guess he and Diane are tight or something, you know. And they don't want to see that come to... You know...
Didn't Harry Reid tell her no?
Harry Reid told her no, yeah, and took it out of the pending bills and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's not good enough.
Well, yeah.
It's just not good enough. They want it to be in there, and Bloomberg wants every weapon out of the hands of every American, and... They're going, and Wayne LaPierre said, "You can't buy America."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and I guess you can, but I would hope, you know, in the amount of time I've spent on this planet, you know, I would hope that the price would be higher than $12 million. All right. We bought New York for $27 back in, 16, whatever it was, but I would think that, you know, if nothing else, inflation would have pushed it up higher than $12 million by now.
Yeah, they're really trying to push this, and the thing is that, you know, both Feinstein and Bloomberg and anybody else who is against it will still have their guards. We'll still be
of course they will.
Yeah, we'll still be allowed to own guns and everything else, and it's just like, you know, why don't you set an example? Put your money where your mouth is. You know, tell your guards to go home, Bloomberg. Go, you know.
Well, you know, my opinion on it is summed up once again by a meme I found that yesterday or the day before yesterday. I mean, it's something in excess of over 80% of New York high school graduates can't read, write, or do basic math.
Yeah.
To a 12-year, and yet his priorities are gun control, large sodas, and outlawing food donations to homeless shelters that might be high in salt or fat.
Yeah, you believe that? That's it. I mean, look,
when John Lindsay, when Rudy Giuliani, when Ed Koch took the office of his honor de mayor, they saw things wrong with New York City, and they ran based on the fact that they saw things wrong with New York City, the Big Apple, the capital of the world. that needed to be addressed, and they rolled up their sleeves.
Wait a minute. I have to interrupt. John Lindsay? Come on. John Lindsay.
He rolled up his sleeves.
Well, yeah, and then they had one of the largest garbage strikes, subway strikes. I mean, it was horrible. It was horrible.
He served a purpose.
Okay.
He brought it all to a head, so that when he left and Beam took over.
Yeah, let's make it as bad as we can, right?
Look, Abe Beam, gotta love him. I mean, you know, I disagreed with him in 359 degrees of distinction. But boy, when he put his mind to it, that little son of a gun.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
He was a tank.
True. Yeah.
You know, and if nothing else, look at it this way. Look at the way he dealt with Bella Abzug.
Yeah. That's true.
You gotta respect the man for the
that's
way
he's true, that's Bella true. Abzug. Bella Abzug. Oh my god, her and her hats. Remember her? Jeez. Oh man.
She a woman?
Yeah. I hate to tell you this. At least.
Oh, I thought that was another guy.
No.
You know, Bella Abzug and Madeline Albright. Madeline Albright used to come on the TV screen. I go, who's this guy?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
but Bloomberg wants to buy America for $12 million.
Yeah, I know. And tell me how to... Yeah, go away. Go away, Bloomy. I mean, you're a pain in the butt.
But he said, look, he hasn't ruled out... He has not yet ruled out a run in 16.
They've already changed the laws for his third term, right?
Yeah.
So now he can run as many times as he wants?
He can run in perpetuity.
Oh, my God.
Mm. In fairness, it wasn't him for whom the laws were changed. It was Fred Koch. But.
No, I thought they were just. They just. No. Uh-uh.
No?
It was him. He wanted to run because Rudy Giuliani couldn't run, remember?
Oh, yeah, you know what? You're right. Yeah, Rudy couldn't run for a
So
thing.
He
yeah.
wanted to run again. So he had. He
pushed oh, I thought this went all the way back to the
end. No. No. So now...
Oh, speaking of Ed, quick happy birthday. Quick happy birthday. I got to stick in a quick happy birthday, and we usually do this either at the beginning or the end, and I missed the beginning, and I don't want to wait to... Ooh-ah! Arlie Ermey. Gunny, his birthday is today.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Gunny. Okay, on with the show. I just didn't want to miss that, because some of... You know, my brother Al and some of my other friends who do listen routinely, you know, they were Marines and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or are Marines, I'm sorry.
They
no,
are. There was never a past in that.
Yeah, I know. No, and I'm going to hear it. I know I'm going to hear it in about an hour. Al's going to be on the phone. Yeah. What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Well, which one of us threw which one of us out of the back of a moving aircraft? My brother. So,
okay.
Hey, that was my job. You know, the Marine Corps insisted they had to have guys paratrained.
Right.
I was like, I'm stuck with this detail, you know. If I'm stuck with this detail, this plane's landing empty.
So you did? You really, really? Come on, tell me a story. Tell me.
Oh, you know, he was not a boot recruit. I mean, you know, he was already... he was already an E4, you know, so, I mean, I expected him to have a little bit more decorum. And, you know, he'll tell you the story. He says, you know, that, you know, he was standing in the door and didn't want to go. And so, you know, I unzipped myself and said, it's either that or this. And when anybody asks him if he jumped, he usually says, well, at first... Oh, was it? Did I just say that out loud? Al, you know you'd say the story the same doggone way, only you'd turn it around, and I'm the one who threw you out of the back of that aircraft, so I don't want to hear it.
So you did, really?
No, I coerced him in a different way. I said, you know, get out of my airplane. Anyway, you know.
Anyway, yeah, no problem.
What are you going to do?
Is Al younger than you?
No, no, God, no. Al's a couple years older than I am.
Oh, is he? Still. Okay.
Yeah, but the idea is, yeah, it's just the way of things. Everybody's got to get out of my airplane. I don't throw off their weight. I do not throw the weight and balance calculations of a C-130 aircraft, to the wind just because somebody gets a little,
jiggy.
Yellow streak up their back.
Oh, okay. And where does Al live?
Oh, he's a lot closer than you, and he is to me.
Oh, great. Like, I didn't.
He lives in Pennsylvania, down by the Three Corners down there.
He knows where you live, don't forget.
No, he knows where I live. He's been here dozens of times.
Good, so. That's good. So he knows how to get you.
Anyway, so yes, Gunny's birthday. Yeah, okay, let's move on. The Senate passed their budget.
Yeah, in what, 4 years? After 4 years?
Yeah. 1,400 days or something.
Something stupid.
And they passed it by 50-49 or 50-48 or something.
And it's all tax increases.
Well, that's the point. I have to give props where they're due. Alaska's senator, help me with his... Democrat,
I can't remember.
Was the first one to say, look, they wouldn't blot any red ink. I voted against.
Yeah.
But the point is, the do nothing house. People on the left say the do nothing house, put forth how many budgets to the Senate over the last few years?
Yeah.
That never, made it off the table?
That's true.
The do nothing house, they were working.
Yeah, no, they were, but, we'll see what happens with John Boehner because... I don't know.
Well, I still believe, and I'm serious, and I don't want anyone to construe any levity in this whatsoever. I seriously believe he was reelected to hold the gavel only because they were afraid that if they took it from him, he'd cry.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Really, seriously. I mean, I don't know if it's he just cries because he's just that type of person. Although I never, ever met a man like that.
And I am in touch with my emotions.
Well, yeah, but so am I. But,
I cried when Old Yeller got shot.
There you go. I was
6 years old.
Exactly. That makes a big difference there. He cried. It's just like... I don't know. I'm just really displeased with what Congress is doing. The Republicans, actually. They're not paying attention. You have DHS. You have good old Big Sis there. They're buying how many thousands of rounds of ammunition? They're buying light armored tanks.
And light armored vehicles, yep.
Yeah, and then they turn around and the Congress says, excuse me, why are you doing this? And we want all the papers. And she says, nope.
We're not going to tell you.
Nope. I'm like, whoa. Okay, this is my thing. They've gotten too big. Get rid of them.
She's a cabinet member.
Get rid of Department of Homeland Security.
Right, but I'm saying she's a cabinet member. I get it. Okay, fine. But you're subpoenaed to Congress.
Yeah.
If you don't answer the questions.
Right.
You're in contempt.
That's right.
Yeah. We held Clinton in contempt of Congress.
Yeah, but it all goes back to the fact that the GOP is so weak that everybody is just going to look at them and go, yeah, right. Yeah. That's basically what's happening, because they don't have the guts to do anything. They do not have the guts to look at the Constitution and say, you know what, Obama and cabinet members, all this is anti-constitutional. They're not going to do that. They're not going to say, impeachment process.
Marco Rubio said the other day, the Constitution should be the starting off point and the ending up point of anything Congress does.
Exactly.
Well, I didn't think that needed to be explained.
Unfortunately, nowadays it does.
You know, is it constitutional? Yes. Okay. Is it, you know, or no? You know, which is it? Is it constitutional or not? If it's not constitutional, then we don't talk about this. If it's constitutional, then we start discussing.
That's right. Yeah.
That's how it starts and ends. Why there should be any discussion of anything other than what falls within the confines of the Constitution, I have no clue.
Because the Democrats believe that the Constitution is a living, breathing thing, and that it should be subject to interpretation and the times.
I'll tell you what, it is a living, breathing
thing. Well, it is, yes.
But it's a living, breathing thing with a heart big enough, tough enough, and strong enough that it's not necessary to make it adapt and change and all this other. It's standing there. Like George Reeves at the beginning of Superman, all those years standing there in front of Truth, Justice, and the American Way, the flag waving behind him.
That's right.
That's the Constitution standing there with its hands on its hips, its fists clenched. That's the way the Constitution should be viewed.
Oh, no, I agree completely. Yeah. But you have people that don't even look at the Constitution. They're basically looking at things, well, what group do we have to kowtow to now? You know? Right now we're dealing with illegal immigrants and the gay community.
Well,
all right. So illegal immigrants are going to get amnesty and citizenship, which is against the Constitution. You know, so they're not interested in the Constitution. They're interested in topics. They're interested in.
I saw a couple of things that go by, and again, this whole thing, and we went over this in depth last week, is this whole reinvention of the Republican Party.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm like, to what end? There's no sense in it. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, there was a cartoon, a cable cartoon that came across in journalism the other day. Or maybe it was today. You know, I lose track of time.
Mm-hmm.
But there was showing the reinvention, you know, criminals and sinners welcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, a new sign. You know, criminals and sinners welcome. No.
No.
Criminals and sinners are not welcome.
Yeah.
This is not the, you know, going illegal immigrants and the alternative sexuality community.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that only because Debbie had something on the Roku yesterday. Maybe you've heard more about this than I have, and I didn't get a chance to discuss it with her, but there's this whole community of people that live their lives dressed up like stuffed animals.
I've heard some of it.
They call them furries?
Furries.
And basically what they do is they go buy a 6-foot-tall stuffed animal, yank the stuffing out of it, and climb inside, and they live their life that way.
You're kidding me.
And they can't function in society any other way.
You're kidding me, right?
No, I'm not. I'm not kidding.
And they have get-togethers, and we won't say the name of what they're calling them in Ohio.
We won't.
They're not carnivals. They're...
No.
Festivals?
Furnivals.
Oh, jeez, Barry. I feel so bad for you for a change. I take back half that nasty stuff I said about you yesterday.
Let me tell you something. If that takes off, I'm going back to my maiden name.
I'm suing.
I'm going back to my maiden name.
I would sue. You know, why not? The left sues at the drop of a hat over any, you know, perceived this, that, and the other. You know, why not?
Oh my God.
I mean, myself personally... The only thing I can say is that the people that I saw in passing, because I was bringing a basket of socks in there to be folded. And she had this on. And
can't you fold your own socks?
Well, yeah, I can fold my own socks, but they happened to be what was ready, and she yelled for me, bring the basket, so I brought it. I don't know, okay. You know. So, and it was on. The only thing I can say in their favor is the fact that everything was neon-colored, which is good, because if they were dressed up as a six-foot rabbit in natural rabbit tones and started walking down my street...
Ba-boom! You take their picture.
I'd take their picture. But anyway, look, that's why I use the term alternative sexuality.
Oh, my God. So there are people... Wait a minute. There are people out... I'm sorry. I'm having problems with this. There are people out there...
I had a problem with anybody that years ago I heard there were people who actually like to get paddled and spanked and whipped and stuff. I had a hard time with that. There's people dressing up like rabbits and...
I had a hard time with that, too.
CSI had a show on it.
Really?
Yes, they did. About 2 years ago.
Oh, my God.
And they're meeting in Las Vegas.
How out of the popular culture mainstream I am, isn't it?
Popular, how about, I don't know, that's not popular culture. That's, what is that? How do you describe something like that?
Odd.
Degenerative?
Well, everybody's got their own,
come on.
I'm serious.
Just hope something. If you have that problem, just wish, pray, and hope that you come back next time as a dog. Okay? You want to be furry?
Well, there are people who like things. And again, I'm only going on hearsay here, but I understand there's people who like things like police uniforms and French maid outfits and stuff like. Where do you draw the line?
Did you peek in my closet? No, sorry.
Yeah, now there's a visual I just didn't.
Sorry.
Thank you so much. Now I'm going to have,
Sorry.
I had a song stuck in my head the other day for 4 days.
Really?
It took me 4 days to get this song out of my head.
What was the song?
I don't want to say it because I'll get stuck again. And then, son of a gun, if I didn't happen to go to Walmart for something that unfortunately... in my neighborhood without literally driving like 45 miles.
Right.
I can't get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So, so I ended up having to go to Walmart, and I ran into a couple there that put it right back in my head.
Oh, no.
And there are visuals that I don't mind, and there are visuals. My mother insists on sending me these emails with all these people that are encountered in Walmarts across the country.
Oh, my God, yeah. I've
seen... They call them Walmartians?
Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I got online.
Well, I have on my Roku, I have a channel that I can zoom in on a camera that is live feed from the nest of a bald eagle.
Right.
And I have another one that, well, it's not there anymore, but it was a live feed from the burrow of a puffin. And you know how I am with birds. I love birds, birds. So, I watched this little baby puffin hatch and stuff and the mother taking care of it. I just was enraptured by it. I mean, that's great. And I have a channel that goes and it zooms in on a den of a bear. Her name was Sparkplug. And she was...
Sparkplug.
I don't know who named her. That's the name. And she had her cub.
Aww.
And for several weeks you watched the interaction between Sparkplug and her cub. And I guess the cub was named. I don't know, anyways,
carburetor.
I watch stuff like that.
Carburetor.
When I'm looking to zone on something, I'll sit there and I'll watch a little baby puffin.
Yeah.
And then my mother sends me these pictures of these people wandering around Walmart.
I know.
And which image gets stuck in my head? The little baby puffin? No.
Yeah, some 400-pound woman wearing a thong and nothing much else.
Hey, have you heard that this is something Debbie told me? I don't know where it came from. I heard somebody talking about what they call a tramp stamp. And that's that tattoo in the small of the back of all these young girls.
Oh, God.
This troll-looking kind of stuff scrolled across their back with a little butter flower or fairy or butterfly in the middle or some Chinese character or something in the middle. And I heard a guy, some show she was watching, refer to them ass antlers. Actually, he was British, so he said arse antlers, but, you know. I said, why am I so... And now I'm really creaked because our TV is dying.
Oh, no!
Oh, my God. Well, you know, we hadn't used it for much of anything, and then we discovered Roku, so we were using it, and I guess it was on its way before we turned everything off 3 years ago, and Debbie said she mentioned it to me at the time, and I don't remember it, but the top 3 inches of the screen are actually flipped over from the what would be the top of 3 inches of the screen, but it exceeds above and then kind of reflects back down. It's weird.
Okay.
It's weird. So it's on its way. And there's, it's not, you know, back in the 60s, I used to fix TVs.
Yeah. Now and, we throw them out and get a new one, Lou.
Yeah. You know, and I'm like, well, what are we going to do? And she says, well, we got to get a new TV. Well, I happened to be in Walmart the other day, as I mentioned. Mm. And I went back to their electronic department to look around. I don't know, you know,
Yeah.
You know, you can't buy a regular television anymore.
Of course not. Got to get a flat screen.
Well, I got to start the whole process over again now because I have no idea. I'm completely clueless when it comes to that kind of technology.
Well, and you know what? We happen to have somebody here who is very up on that type of technology, who eats and sleeps and lives it.
Okay, well, I'll get into that after the show.
Yeah.
The idea is that, you know, I have no idea what to do. This television is... And then Debbie said, well, we have another one. Exactly the same thing with a different brand mark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like one is an Orion and another one is... The other one is a Planar or something. They're the exact same television. Everything is exactly identical except the brand mark in the middle of the base of the television. They're both exactly the same size, exactly the same everything. You know, so they make them in China and they custom stamp them, you know.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, even the remote code is the same.
Oh, my God.
For the universal remote. So, I mean, these are the same television. So she said, well, let's try that. So when, you know, Kimmy was here, we brought it downstairs and we did. And it doesn't fold the top part over the way the one in the bedroom does now, but from what I remember about televisions, when you plug them in and turn them on, smoke coming out of them is not a special effect.
Oh my God!
So I said, okay. So, yeah.
Well, I think that one's gone.
I'm watching this crippled television for now. I got to find it.
Oh my God.
But I love my Roku. I mean, I've been recommending it to everyone.
Actually, because you recommended it, we got one.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Did you get the new Roku 3?
No, we didn't.
Oh, the new Roku 3, which takes the place of the one that I have, is now only for HGTV. It only connects by HDMI.
Aww. So we gonna trade the yeah. Well,
we just got this. We got it about a month before that one came out.
Yeah, so we missed out on it.
And well, I just got another one for my sister for her birthday, loves it.
Yeah.
Everybody loves it. It's my brother Bill down in North Jersey there. Mm-hmm. He's got and he said because we were talking about he came up here to visit and we don't have cable.
Mm-hmm.
And. You know, what are you going to do? I said, nothing. I don't miss it. I've got a computer. I mean, heck, I've got 8 of them, and 5 of them are running at any given time. You know. So we discovered Roku, and I bought him one for a combination Christmas birthday present, because he's one of those kids that, you know, you can get away with that.
Right.
His birthday's like the 30th or 29th or whatever it is.
Okay.
So you can always get away with if you buy him something decent, you know,
mm-hmm.
To make it for both.
Mm-hmm.
He hates when I do that. But so I got one for him, and he said, that's it. I'm cutting my cable too. There's no sense in it.
Cool.
You know, there's just no sense. Any news you could possibly want, weather and stuff like that, if you need it, you just open up your laptop or your iPod or your pad or your tablet or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, I just adore my Roku, but you know, again, but I get to watch things like baby puffins being hatched.
Yeah. Oh no, I love things like that. You know? Yeah, whether it's a camera that is in, like you said, a bear's den or a fox's mm-hmm. den, And you mm-hmm. see that? I mean, it's adorable. And then we have the wall Martians and. And
yeah, well, I haven't seen those on there, but I know I have seen the fact that you can get the Blaze.
Yes. That's on.
You can get GBTV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get the NRA talk channels. You can get, of course, C-SPAN and CNET and, you know, I mean, all of these things, left, right, or center.
Yeah.
You can find all of this stuff on your Roku. And this is what makes it even better. This is what makes it even better, because it's another way that people can't turn to me and say, you're wrong, Lou.
Yeah. That's true.
Because I've still got it. Well, you don't have TV. How do you know? Well, let's see. I don't have TV, and my IQ being about 7, you know, so I couldn't possibly, conceivably figure out how I might find any of this data. That combined with the fact that I go back to the days when, before computers, you had to go to the library.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how many hours did I spend in the library? Oh, my gosh.
You know, I mean, I lived there. I just found out from a very good friend of mine from way, way long ago that the girl who used to be the librarian, oh, God, I had such a crush on her.
Oh, really?
Oh, I had such a crush on her. Is still a librarian.
Oh my gosh. Although I really don't think there'd be too much of an attraction now, but that's okay.
Well, no. Look, I've got the best that ever was born.
Exactly.
You know, as far as my wife is concerned, so I'm not worried about that. But I used to live in the library.
Mm-hmm.
I was blessed with the fact that it was around the corner, and not only when we lived down neck, but I mean it was around the corner when we moved to the suburbs. You know, literally, as a matter of fact, I think it was actually a half a block closer when we moved to the suburbs. I lived at the library.
Yeah, so did I. Yeah. So did I. But, hey, did you hear that D.C., Virginia, Ohio, parts of Pennsylvania, they're going to get 6 to 12 inches of global warming?
Get out.
Nope.
Again?
Yep, they're going to get slammed.
Well, you know,
it's missing us, thank goodness.
I feel bad for them, but man, I don't want to see another inch of it. Yeah. I don't want to see another dusting.
Yeah.
It started to yesterday.
Yes, here too. Yeah.
This little passing, I mean, because the sun was out.
Yep.
And I was looking outside and I said, what the? Debbie said, what? I said, it's snowing.
Yeah.
You know, she's in the other room. She said, it can't be snowing. Sun's out. And I said, it's snowing.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was snowing.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, as Friday, I was in my local Market Basket food store, and let me tell you how sick we are of it here. All of a sudden, you hear this, somebody say, it's snowing, and you hear a collective groan throughout the whole store.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's like, oh, no, not again, you know.
And, yeah.
And
well,
it was coming down to beat the band. Jeez, it's like, oh, for heaven's sake, guys.
Yeah. Last week when it snowed so badly, and I mean it was really it, we got you
yeah.
know another we got another I guess about 7.5 inches.
Yeah.
But I mean it was snowing so hard at points it was you know whiteout kind of scenario, and people were posting wanted posters for Punxsutawney Phil.
Yep. Yep. They're doing that. Yeah, they are. They're going, yeah, death penalty.
And, you know, I feel really bad for the poor guy. I mean, you know, how come they never go after him when the forecast is the other way?
I don't know.
When he says, oh, no, winter's here until June.
Yeah, I know.
You know, nobody wants to string him up then.
No, they don't. But now they
But the minute you get a snowflake, you know, 15 seconds after the equinox...
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. They're all out for his health.
I know. Hey, Crazy Uncle Joe was at it again. Did you hear
why he had stopped?
nah. Well, a few things he did. He spent 2 days, one in Rome and one in Paris, and he...
For $585,000 a night.
Yeah. 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 And then, isn't that amazing? Do you know what I could do with $585,000?
Well, as I said, the kids were in Playa del something, you know, for a birthday.
Yeah, like you know, like we don't spend enough on these people, right?
And, you know, the White House tours were canceled.
Yep. Oh, it looks like the Easter egg roll hunt is going to be canceled, too.
Not for nothing, but the White House tours are run by docents. They're run by volunteers.
I know. They're run by the White House Historical Association.
Which has nothing to do with the budget.
No, it doesn't. No,
so I have no idea how that was supposed to hurt me because that should have nothing to do with it.
Well, the thing is, the house should not have been closed anyway because it's not Obama's to close.
That's right.
It's not his. To close. It's not his house, and that's how he's treating it.
It's his house, but it's his house.
No. He's every bit
as much as it is my house or your house.
No. I'm going to disagree with that completely because the man does not like America. He has no right to that house. None, Lou. Sorry.
Oh, all right. But, I mean, as far as the actual ownership deed is the American people.
Exactly.
He is the American people in some manner or form.
What?
Well, maybe barely, but, you know.
Okay.
Well, let's start the whole No, the birther thing refuses to go away.
Oh, no, it's not even the birther thing.
No, I'm saying the birther thing refuses to go away. Is there a reason for that?
Don't know.
Because I never really truly considered myself a birther.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
it's not going away. I don't know.
But it's not going away. Now, if it's not going away, there has to be a reason for this. In other words, somebody or enough somebody
mm-hmm.
are not satisfied
mm-hmm.
with People's Exhibit A or B or C. But now the president is threatening the media with federal investigations if they pursue the birther issue.
Yeah, that in itself is very suspicious.
So now when people say, oh, let it drop, and people haven't let it drop, okay, fine. But when they, instead of saying, let it drop, we've proved it, we've gotten this certificate of live birth from Hawaii, wherever, and while we're not letting it drop, well, you're either going to let it drop or we'll start doing federal investigations on all of you. Well, now, wait a minute. Lady Macbeth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, methinketh they protesteth too much.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm beginning to think that, too.
You know, I mean, we're gonna. What are we gonna do? We're gonna put Carney and Biden and say Rosencrantz and Guildenstern here or what? You know, if they're threatening all of this because nobody's letting go of the birth certificate issue,
mm-hmm.
well, then you know, on top of everything else, you may have another much more valid point to the fact that he doesn't deserve to be in that house. It's not his to close.
Well, no, it's not. It's not his to close. And I don't think any other president, including people like Jimmy Carter or Bill Clinton, would have ever done that. They understood their... to some extent, they understood.
I don't have to set my fingertips... Well, I do have it at my fingertips. I just don't know how to quote it. When else was it ever closed? During a war, maybe?
Yeah, World War II, probably. Was it?
You know, was it closed during the... I think there was a time under Nixon when it was closed because of the protests.
Well, what about, I think, right after 9/11 also?
Well, right after 9/11, yeah.
But that was necessary.
Yeah, it wasn't an arbitrary, you know, based on somebody's ideas.
It's spiteful. It's being spiteful.
Well, you know, how much stuff that they've been, you know, we're still funding RoboSquirrel.
No, man, don't. Oh, God.
You know, all of these things that are going...
Yeah, 580,000 for Biden. Oh, by the way...
Yeah, 585,000 to Biden. And people say, oh, well, you know, G.W. Bush took more vacations than Obama.
That's baloney.
First place,
he went down to Crawford, Texas, where he has his own house.
His own house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we still had to pay for Air Force One and Marine One, and we still had to pay for Secret Service. Well, you'd have to pay for it no matter whether he was there or anywhere else.
Right.
You'd have, even if he was at the White House, you got to pay for that.
How many golf games did he play?
How many golf games? Because this, you know, what the heck?
Look, this is the way I look at Obama. Obama is, to me, doesn't really run things. To me, he's just somebody's spokesperson. I honestly believe that.
Yeah, the Communist Party USA.
Exactly. And the thing is that
Putin.
All he is there for is just, he's a ceremonial president.
He's a stamp, yeah. He's a titular, I said very early in the podcast today.
Titular
leader of the United States.
That's it. You know, he's there for the state dinners, and he's there, you know, to do all this other stuff. But, you know, a policy is made by somebody else, and he just carries it out. That's it. That's it. But anyway, Crazy Uncle Joe, his latest little blurb, he said that, let's talk about Gabby Giffords. I don't know if you heard this one.
No, I haven't
in heard which, about in which he was standing again in front of, you know, a whole bunch of people, and he said, one of my good friends, Gabby Giffords, who was shot and mortally wounded. Mortally.
Yeah. Up until they saved her, she was.
Well.
But obviously they had to change that.
You know, what's amazing is that, no, she didn't die, you
mean. Well, wait. You know, you combine, you know, who sticks their foot in their mouth with the sequestration issue we were just talking about. Look at what Harry Reid said last week.
Yes.
About, you know, the 7 Marines that were killed.
Oh, my God. Blaming it on sequestration. Yeah. Which, in turn, would blame on the Republicans. So that was going somewhere. And the Marine Corps.
It was going somewhere, but everybody tore him a new one on this, and yes. I mean everybody, including Democrats.
Yeah, there was no excuse for that. There really wasn't.
But he's not. Look, I never gave him much credit for being a super genius either. You know, I mean,
Let me tell you something. The White House now and the Democrats are scrambling because this whole sequestration thing did not turn out the way they thought it would.
No. No, they ended up doing what I said they would do, and that's own it.
Yeah.
They ended up owning it, whether they like to believe it or not. They're on a scramble mission because they ended up owning it. They expected to throw that egg.
Yep.
And it hit the fan and blew right back on their face.
That's right.
And I think that's something. I said let them own the fiscal cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Let them own sequestration.
Yep.
You know. Let them take, you know, ownership of this stuff and see, you know. But, you know, if we had a strong opposition party to the Democrats, this would be playing in our favor like the Philharmonic.
Yeah, we don't, though.
But we don't.
See, the problem is...
Now it's playing in our favor like an organ grinder on a corner.
Exactly. See, well, the thing is that the GOP is more interested in keeping itself in power than...
Job one,
empower,
get elected.
Exactly. Empower.
Job two, get reelected.
Yeah, that's what they are. That's what they're for. They're not interested in bringing back America.
The difference between a politician...
And a statesman?
And a statesman. We shouldn't have any politicians.
I know.
We started this, you know, when this shining city on the hill was founded, there were no politicians.
That's right.
There were statesmen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you Google any of their names and you bring up any, you get Wikipedia for crying out loud. They don't say politician, they say statesman.
Founding father. You know, founding fathers. Yeah.
Now, you rarely have ever seen the word statesman. Why? Because it doesn't fit. The shoe doesn't fit.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Because they're only in there to keep themselves in there.
And people, well, you know, Lou, you're no statesman either. Well, I don't claim to be.
Oh, I'm not running for office, you know?
Yeah, I have no desire to claim to be. I'm not running for office.
Mm-hmm.
I got more skeletons in my closet than Forrest Lawn. I don't, you know, I'm not running for office.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, but I can sit here and squawk because I vote.
Mm-hmm. No, well, you expect them to go there and do what they promise to do. And once they get there...
Smith goes to Washington.
Exactly. Once they get there, then, it's like a kid in a candy store. They take a look at... You have all the opportunities, financial opportunities. Gee, you know, all these people that go into Congress and they're earning almost nothing, but they come out multimillionaires on $175,000... What is it, $120,000, whatever, a year salary, and they're coming out multimillionaires? You know, between
with
the stock...
Look, there's a bunch of stuff going around about how, you know, oh, they make this much money for life, and, you know, Secret Service protection, and all this, you know, look, some of it's true and some of it isn't. The point is, none of it is supposed to have anything to do with the words for life.
That's right. Yeah.
Except maybe the legacy you leave behind having been a statesman.
Yeah, exactly.
There shouldn't be any you know, the congressional health care plan and the congressional liquor store and the congressional barbershop. And look, you know, you want to put a barbershop in the basement of the Capitol, because these people got things to do. You know, they want to run to and from, and there's a barbershop. Oh, good, I can go get the, you know, I got to be on camera in 45 minutes.
Right.
No, that's not a bad thing. You don't want to send them all the way across town.
No, I agree.
But, you know, as far as this, what was it, $140,000 a year for life because they served in the Senate? I don't know if that's true or not.
I actually think it is. Once they serve, they get a guaranteed pension.
Okay, but does it need to be that much?
Well, to them it does. I don't know.
You know,
because they're special.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I can understand, you know, wanting to give them something for their trouble, but, you know, I think they should base it, like everything else, on performance.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
On performance. If you cost this country more than, you know, a nickel more than what you'd make in your life expectancy and pension, you don't get it.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. But, you know, they think that they think they deserve everything that they can get from us, okay, as, you know, monetarily. And then, two, they think that we have to bow down to them.
All these things going around about the 28th Amendment.
I would like to see that. I really would.
As, you know, list this, list that, list the other thing. Look, just list one line. Just one line. What? All elected officials of the government of the United States, from this moment forward, are held bound and lawfully required to live of, by, and for any laws passed in their tenure and extent.
Right.
You know, all you got to do is say, look, whatever law you pass, whatever tax you pass, whatever, you know, special interest you kowtow to, you've got to live with that for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I agree.
You've got to live with it. You don't get a separate health care plan. You don't get a separate medical plan. You don't get a separate pension. You don't get a separate Social Security. They don't use Social Security. They use something else, you know.
Yeah, they have another thing.
Well, yeah, not on top of that. They get that for life after they serve one term. And get this, they still draw their Social Security, too.
Jeez.
You know, so, you know, let's just make it, whatever it is you do, you live with.
Not above it. I say I should run for Congress, then I'll get rich. That's how you get rich in the United States now. Run for Congress. Become a congressman. Senator. You know? Isn't that great? I think that's disgusting.
I couldn't get elected dog catcher, but that's okay.
Huh?
What? I said I couldn't get elected dog catcher.
Well, it makes you me both. I mean, you know, geez Louise. I mean, the Republican Party up here can't stand me. But that's okay, because I just talk too much.
And, no.
Yeah, well, okay.
Well, what the heck would they think of me then?
Oh, man. I think they... Eh, let's not get into it. One of these days I will get into it. When I want blood. No, just teasing. It's one of those days, isn't it? Sorry.
My goodness.
Yeah, one
of those. Tell me how you really feel.
No, it's okay.
You don't have to sugarcoat it for me.
No, it's okay. It's all right. No, I don't know. I've actually been in touch with a person I haven't been in touch with for a while. He lives in Texas, and we exchanged a few emails and stuff. And he said, you know, he goes, we're down here and we're busy planning and
in free America,
and we're getting things ready. You know, and a lot of people down there, you know, he's a farmer. You know, they really understand what's going on. A rancher, actually. And, and many people like him, they're very, very nervous.
Nervous?
Scared.
He's probably armed to the teeth.
Well, yes, he is. He is. Most definitely.
There's one of the things on one of those cartoons going around, you know. What are you so paranoid of that you have to have a gun? I've got a gun. I'm not paranoid of anything.
Yeah, exactly. But, it's scary. You have, you know, a lot of people now starting to come out, but you have more and more people going there and getting their licenses for concealed carry. You have a lot more people going
there.
Out. Well, here too, everywhere.
I got news for you. If you lived here in Maine,
yeah,
and today is Sunday, so it's different. But I mean, if you woke up tomorrow morning and went online and said, you know what I think I want to do? I think I want to go and get in touch and get my main concealed carry.
Okay.
So I'm going to take the course. I'm going to, you know, go to the class. And this, and, you know, you'll get your name on the list, but I'm talking June.
There's so many people. Yeah.
Talking June.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, and that's me.
Yeah. No, here, I mean, one town, they said they used to average 25 applications a month. Okay? Now it's 25 a week. All right? So.
400%.
Yep.
400%. And over here in Maine, and I'll tell you, if you don't already have, good luck getting, you know, you just went on Google and said, well, this is the firearm I want, and, you know, in this caliber and in this configuration, you know, good luck finding one. And if you did find one, good luck getting ammunition for it.
Yeah. Speaking of gun control laws, Colorado has signed into law sweeping gun control laws.
And there was a gun
manufacturer who said bye.
Bye.
They're leaving within 30 days.
Bye. Out of the state. Guy didn't lift his pen.
Nope. And they were said, we're out of here.
And I've been seeing these things come across Google Plus, Twitter, Facebook, all these things. I've been seeing these things come across, all these things, the 10th Amendment stuff going on, and nullification movements, and all this. And I keep posting the same thing back to my own profile saying, wake up, man.
Yeah.
Wake up, because Maine has the distinction of having a slightly older workforce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not just, you know, a state where, you know, where you put a job in the paper and you get 8,000 kids from, you know, 17 to 22, you know, lined up outside for, you know, the job as a cashier at, you know, whatever mart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have an older workforce who's experienced, who has a good work ethic, and, you know, manufacturing was one of our fortes here in Maine. Right. And all these firearm companies saying, you know, look, Colt in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Colt is starting to wonder if they're as welcome, and they've been in Connecticut since 18 what?
Wow.
18 something?
Yeah.
You know, and they're saying, hey, you know, well, look, you know, you guys don't even have to hire a lot of trucks. We'll come down and carry the stuff here for you. It's only Connecticut.
True.
We'll get it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no,
we've got, you know, unemployment in this state of people who want to work. Mm-hmm. We've got facilities empty. Come on up.
Yep.
Come on up. We'll help you move.
No, I agree.
You know, buy some pizza, buy some beer. We'll help you move. You know, so why, you know, and Texas, of course, is also saying the same thing.
Yep.
You know, and I know that they were right there, ready to take on the manufacturers in question. But, I mean, there's all kinds of firearm and ammunition manufacturers that are stressed.
Yeah, they are.
They can't keep up with the demand.
That's right.
And here we've got all these facilities up here in Maine, people willing, ready, willing, able, and trainable to work and have a good work ethic will actually show up when there's, you know, blizzard conditions outside.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you know, Colorado, Connecticut, your loss.
Yeah.
New York, too.
They're going to probably move out of New York, too. New Jersey, I think, too. Got a whole bunch of companies that, you know, it's just like, all right, fine. You know, I mean, this guy, you know, this governor of Colorado is, you know, he's got tears in his eyes and everything like this. Like, guy, you know, knock it off. You know, the one who...
Taking Boehner, he's Boehnering out.
Oh, man, that's what it is. Pulling a Boehner.
Pulling a Boehner. Guy's sitting there pulling a Boehner.
Oh, gosh. You know, I think we've really gabbed today.
Yes, we have.
Well,
you know, we covered a lot of stuff, and we covered it well.
Yes,
you know,
we did.
But it was a gab day. You know why? I'm sitting here, and I've got, you know, I watch my chickadees right here. I've got a little shelf.
Aw.
That I have just outside this window, and I spread bird seed out on it, and the bird feeders are actually 5-8 yards away. I can see them hanging on the crook out in the yard there, and I've got a couple of jars hanging on either side of this window with mason jars with sunflower seeds in them and stuff. And I can sit here and I enjoy watching my mm-hmm. breakfast. And I'm listening to them. They're all talking, you know, making all kinds of little cute, you know,
cute little spring noises.
And nuthatch and all these. I haven't seen a robin yet. Have you seen a robin yet?
Yes, I have, actually. Saw one last week before we got the big snow.
Oh.
They're probably scared away. Oh, by the way, I wanted to mention we visited a sugar shack yesterday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, saw them. We have one, like, right up the road.
Us.
Yeah, and we bought some nice light maple syrup and some maple cream, which, oh my gosh, it was delicious. It's delicious. I had it on pancakes this morning, but this weekend was sugar maker.
Sugar, it is here in Maine as well. Yeah. Yes, it was Maine Maple Sunday.
Yeah, and so today. Know, everybody was out, and man, I'll tell you.
Another little plug from Roku. I get it through the channel Nowhere TV, is a show called Garden Fork Television.
What's that?
Garden Fork TV. GardenFork.com, I guess, or .co or .tv or whatever, Garden Fork.
Yeah.
He's a fellow who lives in New York City,
okay.
Brooklyn, actually, but has a place up by you in New Hampshire.
Oh, really?
Yep, and he does kind of how-to videos, and he just put up a couple of videos. His videos run 5, 6, 8, 10 minutes.
Cool.
And they're interspersed with pictures of his Labradors frolicking and stuff. It's kind of amusing.
Aww.
And but he just put up his last week. He put up the one about how to tap maple trees.
Mm-hmm.
And he just put up one this week about how to make your own syrup from your sap.
Yep. Yep.
And it's kind of neat. Garden Fork TV. All right, look, I have no idea. It was politics, and I don't care. You know, it's a bit of a
oh, who cares?
It's not even a question of survival. It's kind of just like this guy's, you know, just showing skills. You
right.
know, you can do this. You know, he showed one TV show was about installing a washing machine.
Mm-hmm.
Another one was changing a faucet in a bathroom. You know, but another one was about maple sugaring. Another one was about garden weed identification. Another one was about growing asparagus, and which we do,
mm-hmm.
and we're hoping the snow goes away because it's almost asparagus time of year.
That's true, yeah.
And I just love asparagus.
Yeah, so do I.
And you know, so I mean, it's not survivalist. It's more like just, you know, daily skills that there's no reason you can't do this kind of a thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As soon as you know, everything melts, maybe in May, I'm going to get my garden back up and running again, you know, but...
Well, I got the...
I have to start my seeds.
We actually got peas growing in the kitchen.
Oh, my gosh!
Debbie threw peas. I mean, she's an experimenter when it comes to this stuff. You know, what can she do? What will work? What won't work? I mean, she's got 2 green thumbs and 8 green fingers.
Wow.
And she started some peas around the one window above the kitchen sink and around the other window over by where her plant table is.
Mm-hmm.
And the one hanging there, it's just draped off of some of the tchotchkes we've got around the kitchen window, and it's just hanging there. And there are like 3 or 4 pods.
Oh, my gosh!
And it's just, we figured they should be ready. Maybe I'll make them today. Maybe I'll make a stir fry. Well, the gravy's already on.
Okay,
that's
yeah.
But maybe tomorrow I'll throw together a stir fry. Mm. I mean, 2 pea pods is not enough, but
no.
the other one has about a dozen.
Wow, nice.
But they're only like 3/8 of an inch long yet, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, the sun keeps getting stronger, it'll do better.
Exactly.
And we've got growing, you know, carrots, and there's probably best part of a dozen radishes growing in that window that are probably pretty close to ready to harvest. They're about an inch and a quarter across, and I'm waiting to see as soon as the leaves get that color to them, like we're going to bolt now.
Yeah, exactly.
Then I pull them, you know. But yeah, we've already done a lot of this stuff. You know, tomatoes, the tomato seeds are all out on the table. I guess she had intentions of doing that this afternoon.
Yeah, I got to do that. I'm going to try and do it this week.
Well, here's a little garden tip for you.
Okay.
If you buy your eggs in those polystyrene container, not the styrofoam, mm-hmm. but the clear polystyrene trifold style egg cartons. Mm-hmm. What you do is you open it and you take the center one that folds down on the top of the eggs and you cut it out of there. Mm-hmm. And you just put soil in the bottom corrugated part where the eggs actually sit. Plant your seeds, water it gently, and fold the top over, and it becomes its own little greenhouse.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting. Okay.
Little individual slots, you know, a dozen little plants grow in there, and you just fold it over, and you leave it closed in your sunny window, mm-hmm. and it's its own little greenhouse. People have been bringing us, of course, egg cartons and stuff because, you know, they want our eggs, so they bring us the cartons. Mm-hmm. And when we get those plastic ones, that's what we do with them because we really don't care for them and we don't want to throw them into the, you
right,
know,
yeah. Yeah, sure.
We use the cardboard ones mostly because if somebody doesn't return them and they do throw them away, mm-hmm. then well, at least it's only, you know, that kind of biodegradable cardboard. So between that and those big clamshell polyethylene, polystyrene, whatever they are, things that people actually buy salad in. Mm-hmm. Which I don't understand why people buy salad in a container like that. Why don't you just buy lettuce? But they buy it in these containers. They make a wonderful little greenhouse as well. Once you're finished with whatever product was in it,
That's true.
You peel the little paper label off, and you know 3/4 inch of soil in the bottom, and mist it down well, close the lid, and you've got a greenhouse.
That's true, yeah.
Even if you only use it once before you throw it away, you reused it once at least.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, these are all good tips.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got a million of them. Of course, I didn't actually invent them. Debbie did, but, you know.
There you go.
But I'm willing to share.
Pass them on, yes.
Pass them on.
Okay, guys, we're going to have to...
Yep, we went to 2 hours again, although this week we did gab quite a bit.
Yeah, we did.
But you know what? We hadn't done a good gab one in a long time.
We have not. No, we have not. And it was about time. We had to do a lot of catching up. Well, guys, thank you again for listening. Hope we have brightened your day and informed you. I know Lou always informs me.
You have the right to remain silent.
Silent, yeah.
Inform you, Miranda.
My Miranda rights. Yeah, no. Okay, so, you know, folks, thanks again. Lou, why don't you take us out?
A season Pesach, Blessed Palm Sunday next week being Easter. We hope that the Easter Bunny is good to you on your Resurrection Day, whichever holiday you choose to name it. And in the meantime, God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.